Good morning and welcome to Simcha, Even Though, and Parshas Devarim. One of my favorite songs has always been Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikim Ba. We say it in davening, this beautiful pasuk, the words of Shlomo HaMelech and Mishlei. The Torah is a tree of life for all who hold on to it, meaning all those who keep its mitzvos. Why am I bringing up this song? Because the words are very fitting for Parshas Devarim. The pasuk we're going to learn together proves what I've been trying to tell so many people for so long. If a firm person causes you harm, it's not the Torah's fault. Separate the outer appearance of the person from the negative behavior. Never say all firm people are whatever the negative word is. David HaMelech says, "Ani amarti b'chavzi kol ha'adam kozev." I said in my haste that all people are deceitful. After all, Shaul was chasing him relentlessly, and so many people were being rodef him for no reason. Under such duress, it could really seem like everyone's a bunch of liars, but when you calm down and think clearly, you realize it might be some people, but it's never everyone. Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikim Ba. It's a tree of life for everyone who holds onto it. V'simcha me'ushar, and those who have the schos to support Torah are fortunate. Dracha Darchei Noam, the ways of Torah are pleasant. V'chol nesivo seh shalom, and all of its paths are peaceful. Even this one pasuk in Parshas Devarim that we're about to learn proves that anyone who follows the Torah 100% will never be mazik another human being in any way. So be happy and proud to be part of a nation with a perfect Torah, which guides everyone who chooses to hold on to it. Our Torah protects us. No other nation has what we have. Even with our tzaras, we have Hashem, and that helps us live our lives with simcha, even though Parshas Devarim Perek Aleph, Moshe is delegating Dayanim to help judge Klal Yisrael, because the Yidden have grown exponentially. It's time to instruct others in the halachos of setting up proper batei dinim. Also crucial, teaching the halachos of how a Dayan must conduct himself when dealing with the litigants who come before him. Pasuk et Zayin, Lo sakiru panim b'mishpat, don't recognize faces in judgment, meaning don't favor one person over another in a corrupt way. Rashi says this refers to choosing the Dayanim, the judges. Says Rashi, Shalo yomar, ish ploni na'e o gibor, this man is handsome or strong, o shivenu dayin, I'll place him as a dayin, give him a job as a dayin. Ish ploni krovai, this guy's my relative, o shivenu dayin ba'ir, I'll make him the dayin in the city. He's not proficient in the laws no gate to being a dayin. The Ibn Ezra explains lo sakir panim to mean lahachriach hadin l'mishe yakir, to force the din in favor of the person he knows personally. The pasuk continues, Kakaton kagadol tishma'un. The small and the big, you should hear. Mefarshim explained who exactly is katon and gadol. It could be a simple man versus a prominent man, poor man versus a wealthy man. Hear them both. About hearing and judging fairly, I'd like to include what I recently read in the biography of Rav Moshe Shapira. The Maharal says that a person stands upright, unlike an animal who crawls around on four legs facing the earth. Man's ability to look up to the heavens and not just down on the ground like an animal reminds us that we have free choice, looking up or looking down, right or wrong. As we know, our ears ensure that our physical inner balance is in order, which allows us to stand up straight. And the Vilna Gaon notes that ozen, ear, has the same shorash as maznaim, which means a scale, which must be balanced. So our ability to hear and also to choose are therefore intertwined. Continuing with this same Rashi on the words, ka katon, ka gadol tishma'un, that you should listen to the small and the great equally. It could also mean a case of a pruta, meaning a small amount of money, should be as dear to you as a case involving meya mana, meaning a significant amount of money, so that if the litigants of the pruta case come to you first, don't push them off till last. You see how the Torah is our blueprint? Hashem didn't just create man and say, well, my creations can do no wrong. Rather, Hashem created man and said, I understand his tendencies, and therefore I will give him crystal clear instructions for life. Rashi goes on, Davar Achar, another explanation. A judge shouldn't say, this fellow is poor, and his friend, meaning the other litigant, is rich. I'll rule in favor of the poor guy, v'nimtzah misparnas b'nikias, and he'll be supported easily. He'll have a good parnasa. The rich guy will give him money and finish. But if the rich guy doesn't owe him money, that's literally stealing. Davar Acher, and here Rashi gives a third interpretation. Don't say, how can I offend the honor of this wealthy man over money? I'll rule in his favor now, and when he goes outside, I'll tell him, ten lo, chayav lo, give him the money you owe it to him. And this fascinating pasuk continues, lo saguru mepnei ish, don't fear people. The Mefarshim all explain lo saguru as don't be afraid, and they give examples. Don't say, meaning the dayan, should not say, what if the guy who loses decides to kill me? What if he burns down my crops? Now today, most Rabbanim don't have crops at stake, but today the fear could mean, what if he slashes my tires? What if the board fires me? What if someone posts who knows what online about me? And these threats might be very real. A Rav once told me that a guy purposely spat on him in shul. And some get death threats. It takes courage to put aside what's popular in favor of what's emes and yashar. Nevertheless, the Torah states clearly, a dayan must be fearless. The Mefarshim then explain the specific use of the word lo saguru, that it means to keep inside your heart what needs to be said, out of fear, obviously. For example, if a Talmud is present when his Rebbe makes a mistake in Beis Din, al yishtok a Talmud, the Talmud may not be silent. Remember we quoted Shlomo HaMelech in a previous shir from Koheles, Eis lachshos ve'eis ladaber, and Rambam goes even further. Not only may the Talmud not keep quiet when his Rebbe is about to make a mistake, this is what it means, midvar sheker, tirchok, from falsehood stay far away, you can't say, I'm not the one corrupting things here, I'm going to just mind my own business. No. The Torah says, speak up. When I first moved from gentle Toronto to tough New York in 1990, I worked at an office, which I'll remain nameless for this story, and I remember the first time someone called for the boss, and I put the guy on hold to tell the boss he had a call. Tell him I'm not here, he said. And innocent, cultured Canadian that I was, I'm thinking to myself, but you are here? I remember refusing to say that he wasn't here, and instead saying that he wasn't available or something like that. Your boss might do things a certain way, but it doesn't become okay for you just because you work for him. Moving forward, we figured out a way for me to respond without lying that still got him off the hook. Literally off the hook. It was a landline. The funny thing is that boss was an otherwise honest man. People just get used to doing things the same old way without realizing there might be a better way. And back to our pasuk, the Mefarshim conclude, Lo saguru mepnei ish means only fear Hashem, not people. So what happens when the dayan doesn't judge correctly? It's in the very next words of the pasuk. Ki ha-mishpat l'alokim hi, because judgment belongs to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us here that when a Beis Din is crooked, chas v'shalom, Hashem says, what you took from one person unjustly forces me to return it to him, explains Tivsei Chachamim. That's why it says the mishpat becomes Hashem's mishpat now. Hashem has many ways to take money away from someone who doesn't deserve it, and many ways to give a person money that's coming to him. Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheles, Elokim mevakesh es hanirdef, Hashem seeks out the one who's being oppressed by another. You mess with someone in Beis Din knowingly, now you got Hashem to deal with. Don't mess. Before I share some amazing uplifting stories with you, I have to say this, a message for women. When a trusting woman is in Beis Din, or even in front of one Rav, she's sometimes pressured to sign things that are either inaccurate, demeaning, against her wishes, or all of the above. From experience, from what I wish I'd known, say, I need to think this through, and buy yourself time to find out what the real halacha is. Also ask yourself, is the person who's forcing me to sign this document or insisting that I allow just anything that goes against common sense, is he an Erlich HaTorah Jew in every other way? Or do certain behaviors cast doubt on his Yerah Shamayim? Meaning, is this the only instruction that seems out of line? I'll give you a small example. Don't sign your name to anything, even a few lines where your signature is all the way on the bottom of the paper, and you're told that the empty space will get filled in later, not in your presence. It happened to me once, and I remember objecting to it and being told not to worry. Bad advice. By the way, lawyers do this in their own crooked way. They say, just sign these blank releases while you're here so we don't have to bother you every single time. Tell them it's okay. Bother me every single time. All right, that's it for cautionary words. Let's get to the uplifting part. Here are some precious gems to take with you into the week of Yidden whose courage to do the right thing was a kiddush Hashem. Story number one. Someone who is becoming a dayan approached the Chafetz Chaim for advice on how to be a good dayan. Chafetz Chaim told him, tell them they should never wait for you to finish Mana Esrei. At first the fellow thought maybe the Chafetz Chaim misheard the question. What was the connection? Explained the Chafetz Chaim, when a whole kehila waits for one person to finish Mana Esrei before continuing, it's a form of kavod, honor and flattery, said the Chafetz Chaim, are forms of shochad, bribery, and it might prevent you from ruling correctly when your constituents come before you in Beis Din. Story number two, I heard from a shir by Rav Kalman Krohn. During Rav Chaim Brisker's lifetime, there was a very bad decree on the Yidden of his city. And Rav Chaim Brisker wanted to speak to the very anti-Semitic leader behind the Gezerah. And the people told him, listen, this guy's not going to take bribes. What are you going to do? Rav Chaim Brisker reassured them that he would take care of it. So he went to pay this guy a visit. It was a very hot night, and he bundled up in a fur coat with his head all covered as if he was expecting the worst snowstorm ever. When he got to the man's house, the guy was like, why are you all bundled up like this? And Rav Chaim said, my mother came to me in a dream last night, and she predicted a blizzard at 12 o'clock tonight, at midnight. The guy was like, okay, a dream? I mean, I heard you're a very wise man, but well, this sounds a little interesting. So Rav Chaim said, you know, why don't we bet on it? They both put down 500 coins, and they talked and talked. Many hours later, midnight came, and midnight went, and no blizzard, of course. The host happily pocketed the 1,000 coins, and Rav Chaim starts getting ready to leave. And then he says to the guy very casually, so about this decree, think we could work something out? And the guy is like, Rabbi, of course, no problem, right? Now, obviously, you're allowed to use shochad, bribery, for pikuach nefesh, of course, not for something that has zero toilas. Point here is that shochad is real, it's potent, it works, and sometimes it can be very dangerous. Story number three, a tzaddik was giving shir to a room full of talmidim, and you could hear a pin drop. Suddenly, the door bursts open, and a frantic wagon driver rushes in, all out of breath. Rebbe, mega koyin nemen a grusha. Can a kohen take a divorcee? Now, everyone knows a kohen can't marry a divorcee, so the talmidim are getting ready to throw this guy out. Not only you dare to interrupt the rav's shir, but this question is an emergency? The rav gestures for them to relax and calmly tells the wagon driver, yes. The balagala thanks the rav and he leaves. The talmidim are sitting there in shock. Yes! The tzaddik then gave them a very important lesson on how crucial it is for a rav or a dayan to think before he jumps to resolve an issue. Who is asking the question? The wagon driver clearly was about to be hired by a divorced woman to drive her somewhere. Being somewhat uneducated in the intricacies of halacha, since he himself was a kohen, he didn't know if he was allowed to even have a grusha in his wagon for a paid trip. Now, if the rav would have answered hastily, he might have said no, right? But he took the extra moment to take in the whole picture and then said yes, because of course a kohen can be hired to transport a grusha in the back of a wagon to wherever she needs to go. So what are the practical takeaways for us, and how does knowing all that we learned today make us happy? Number one, we have a Torah. We don't have to live empty, meaningless lives like half the world is doing. Eitz Chaim hi, it's a tree of life. Number two is, we know not to judge all from people negatively or even from people of a specific type just because one or two from people need refresher courses in Yiras Shemayim or happen to be missing manners or common sense. Derechecha derechei Noam, the ways of the Torah are pleasant. On a personal note, whenever I'm talking to a struggling young person who's trashing all from people, I ask, was there anyone, even one person who wasn't like that, who did act kindly towards you? Pushed to think, they always come up with at least one person. And then I say, that person is truly from. So if you're not feeling the Eitz Chaim hi or the Derechei Noam, see what changes you can make so that you have a better view, so that you get to know better people and have better experiences. Never just let life tumble all around you till you're buried in bitterness, chas v'shalom. And may the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt very soon so that everything in this world will be restored to the way it should be. One day, there will be only tzedek, only emes, and only light. I would just like to add that if anyone wants me to see any communication about the shir, they should email me directly at twinrivers54@gmail.com. Twin Rivers, that's with an S at the end, the number 54 at gmail.com. Other communication doesn't go to me directly.